Hello, my name is Mahindra Gupte, and today we will cover the book Global Supply Chain Management and Outsourced Manufacturing. Before we get on to the subject, let's understand what supply chains are and how did they evolve over a period of time. What is a supply chain to start with? It's a network of organizations, resources, and activities. Covers sourcing to final customer delivery. Includes planning, sourcing, manufacturing, logistics, and service. Goal, cost optimization, and efficiency. When we say network of organizations, resources, and activities, what do you really mean? It means that we cover every organization that is in the supply chain, right from starting with the source, that is the raw material supplier, or the, if it's a food industry, the farmer, to the process, covering the processing company as well as the final supermarket and the end customer. So all these organizations is what we would cover. Resources, definitely we would require resources in all kinds. First, the raw materials, the machines, the men, and most important, the logistics and transport to move the material from one place to the other. And the activities, of course, all these activities which we just mentioned. Cover sourcing to final customer. So what's the scope of the supply chain? It starts right from sourcing the raw material and reaching the final product to the customer. Includes planning, sourcing, manufacturing, logistics, service. When you look at the entire gamut of all activities and the source to the final destination, there is a lot of activities involved. And it would definitely need very strong planning. So planning, sourcing, of course, trying to find the best source for the best raw materials. Manufacturing, producing the product as per its specifications and trying to exceed customers' expectations. Logistics, physically moving the component, the materials as well as the good finished goods to the customer. And this does not restrain ourselves from just the manufacturing industry, it also covers service industry. And what is the goal of this supply chain? The goal of the supply chain is nothing else but cost optimization and efficiency. That is, keep the cost to the bare minimum and deliver as efficiently as possible. What happens in a global supply chain? The entire supply chain, now the local supply chain will now stretch globally. That means it will cover international borders and cover other countries. So let's understand what the book says first. Operates across international borders, involves global sourcing, manufacturing, and distribution. And what are the benefits? There is cost reduction, market access. Challenges are regulations, logistics, and compliance. When we talk of global supply chains, we are talking of international, crossing international borders. The reason being that we would be sourcing, let's say, for example, raw material from China or from some other source, some other country which is beyond the boundary of India. Involves global sourcing, manufacturing, and distribution. So many countries offer cheap labor as well as good infrastructure for manufacturing. For example, we all know Nike shoes are manufactured and made and designed and manufactured in Vietnam. Now that doesn't mean that Nike has outsourced the entire designing to Vietnam. No, it is the Nike office in Vietnam that does the designing and then gets it manufactured locally in Vietnam and ships them to the US. Benefits, cost reduction. When we talk of overseas supplies, we are all aware that international travel, for example, for all of us, costs much more. Then how could sourcing from global sources be cheaper? The reason is the cost of raw materials as well as the labor in that country. And then what is the bigger benefit? The bigger benefit is once you are manufacturing overseas, you have that overseas country as the market to start with, which could extend to the region and then to other countries around. Challenges, regulations, logistics, compliance. Regulations, because now you have got to understand the rules and regulations of the foreign country where you are trying to source material and then extend further to try and sell your finished product in that same country. Logistics, of course, international logistics is a major concern and a major challenge. But with things and the way the world is moving, definitely it's much easier activity to do. Compliance, we got to comply with all rules and regulations of not only the country where you are going to source materials, but also India where you are going to import the materials. Let's understand the importance of supply chains, impacts profitability and cash flow, creates competitive advantage, improves revenue and customer satisfaction, reduces operational and reputational risks. When we say it impacts profitability and cash flow, well, doesn't everything? And then we look at profitability and cash flow from the sales that happens of the finished goods. If that is the case, why do we say supply chains impact profitability and cash flow? The reason is simple, that you have two parts of the supply chain. One is the inward, where you getting in material into the factory, and the other part is the outbound supply chain, which is moving the finished goods to the customer. Now, it is this area of moving the finished goods to the customer that becomes critical, especially where profitability and cash flow is concerned. The major part here is the major expense here is on sales, is on the logistics and the sales price that is actually the customer is going to pay you. Now, if you do not work, or if your supply chain is not good enough to supply material to the customer at the bare minimum cost or the cost that has already been calculated, you are going to be in trouble. But if you are able to do that, which you would mostly with good strong planning, you would be profitable, and then you have cash flow directly coming in when the customer pays you. Creates competitive advantage. If your supply chain is faster, quicker, and much more agile, you can beat competition by promising deliveries and sticking to that delivery schedule, which is a huge advantage over your competitor. Improves revenue and customer satisfaction. You promise a customer that you will deliver in 2 days and you deliver it maybe on the second day or a day earlier. What do you have? You have a satisfied customer, practically a customer for life. Reduces operational and reputational risks. With proper planning and compliance and regulations, you can actually reduce operational and reputational costs and risks. Operational costs, because supply chains, right from starting with your source to your finished product customer, are all within your control. Let's understand how supply chains came into being. In earlier days, barter systems and early credit systems were in place. Trade evidenced from 10th millennium BCE. Silk Route connected Europe and Asia. Spice and luxury trade flourished. So earlier there wasn't currency that was being used across for any business. It was barter systems. That means maybe India sold, or a trader in India sold 2 kgs of rice for a kg of dates or whatever else, depending on what he was trying to sell it to and what he was wanting to buy. And early credit systems, I wouldn't really be sure of what this would mean in terms of how do you keep track of somebody who has taken material on credit. But yes, their credit systems do existed in the regular customers and traders who operated across fixed borders. Trade evidence from 10th millennium BC. So that is the earliest time that there was trade that was seen happening, and as a result, it has been recorded. Silk Route, we all have heard of this. Silk Route, silk moved from China through a lot of countries in the northern part of India, across India to Europe. And that's how Europe and Asia got connected. Spice and luxury trade, spices from the southern part of India as well as the Middle East, and especially Iran, Iraq, and the current Middle East is where spices grew and were traded. And of course, they were traded for luxury goods from Asia, like the Silk Route, silk and other items from Europe across. Middle Ages and modern era, trade fairs and capital formation, age of exploration and colonial trade, rise of free trade in 19th century, World Trade Organization and globalization in 20th century. So you had trade fairs and capital started getting formed, currencies came into being, and then people started having enough money to buy luxury goods, spices, etc. Age of exploration and colonial trade. We all know that the British came to India way back in the 18th century, and then that's where they started controlling the trade from all the colonies that they ruled over. And it wasn't only restricted to the British, it was also through the Dutch, the French and others. Rise of free trade in the 19th century. So it took more than a century for traders and the countries to understand and start looking at free trade. That means do not have restrictions about imports and exports to and from export country to other countries. Sometime in the 20th century, the World Trade Organization and globalization came into being. The World Trade Organization's prime responsibility was to promote free trade across member countries. Local and regional chains pre-1900, railroads and mechanization, containerization, revolutionized logistics, computerization and globalization. So as we understood that trade started increasing, 20th century is where you have the WTO and globalization, local and regional chains, supply chains pre-1900 flourished much more. People started understanding that they could, the north of India understood that they could import rice from the southern part and the southern part could import wheat from, could source wheat from North India. This was helped further by the railroads and mechanization of the world altogether. Containerization late in the 1950s, that means 56-57, was where the container was made, or the idea of a container came into being. And that revolutionized logistics, especially internationally as well as local. What added further was the advancement of computers and computerization and globalization. With the internet today, the world is practically a village. Modern global supply chains, manufacturing hubs in Asia, how did they grow to the current state? The world started understanding and recognizing that Asia was the best place to get anything manufactured, whether it was clothes getting made in a sweatshop in China, or whether it was manufacturing in China or India or the other countries in Asia. Ethical and sustainable sourcing focus, that is where brands, the recognized and the reputed brands started looking at suppliers and countries who had high ethical standards and also had sustainable energy and sustainable supply chains to source from. Integrated global networks. High efficiency with complexity. Integrated global networks is where people started moving materials from source to their destination markets rather than importing everything back into the country and then re-exporting it from the imported country. High efficiency with complexity. Of course, these networks, you're not only sourcing, but now you are trying to dispatch material from your supplier who is based in a third country to another country where your market is, definitely requires a lot of efficiency, and the network is not simple, it is pretty complex. Importance of smooth supply chains. Why do you need smooth supply chains? The reason is, if you have a supply chain which keeps getting stuck at every place, then you are not able to reduce cost, which is one of the reasons that the supply chain itself is in existence. So cost reduction and waste minimization becomes a priority. Timely delivery and better quality. Operational agility and risk mitigation. Cost reduction, as I said, is prime responsibility. And of course, if you want to reduce costs, you would want to eliminate waste or minimize it to the bare minimum. You need to deliver timely, and you got to also deliver better quality. The quality would be more in the component or the product, but the way you deliver is also a quality process. As we seen earlier, if you promise a customer that you would deliver in 2 days and you deliver at that time, that would mean timely delivery. But if you are able to deliver it before, you may add to customer satisfaction. Operational agility. Operational agility here would mean that would you have a single route to get your raw material or your finished goods moving, or you would look at options. And this is where operational agility comes in. So you would have to always keep a plan B ready in case if plan A doesn't work. Risk mitigation. When you are sourcing from, whether you are sourcing locally or whether you are sourcing globally, we have got to understand that the supplier and your supply is always at risk. Now, how you overcome those risks, how do you understand your supply chain and plan your processes is what matters. But you need to look at, understand the risk and have ways and means to mitigate. Let's look at the types of supply chain models. There is continuous flow, fast chain, efficient chain, and agile, flexible, custom configured. Continuous flow, especially those industries which are producing on a continuous basis, the pharma industry, the chemicals and fertilizers industry, the petroleum industry, where you have a continuous flow of the raw material and the product as well. Fast chains, you have fast chains could, an example could be the fast food supply chains, which would explain what it really means. It is not only the delivery of the product from the fast food chain outlet to the customer, but also of raw material availability at any given point of time, which means that if you have a restaurant, if you are tomorrow running a restaurant, you would have to get supplies on everyday basis so that you are able to deliver every day to your customers. Efficient chain is where you look at high efficiency, especially in engineering products or consumers or consumables also. Take the best example here of an efficient chain would be FMCG products. No customer waits for a brand not available or a packing not available. If not this, you have other options. Agile, flexible, custom configured. Many a times, big engineering products or projects are based here, require agile, flexible, and custom configured supply chains. The reason is not only for the finished goods to be delivered, which is the biggest and the most important part, but also the supplies of the raw materials. Because if the project is big, or the component or the equipment that has to be manufactured is huge, you are going to require as raw material also in the same proportion. So getting raw materials is the first task. And then once you have manufactured, the delivery becomes the second part, where you would have customized supply chains, which are flexible as well as agile. Supply chain strategies, CTO, configure to order. That means you would configure the supply chain based on the order. Now, if your customer is based in maybe 100 kilometer distance, you would have a different way of delivering material to him. If there is another customer which is just 5 kilometers away, you would have another way, another process to deliver. And if you have a customer who is overseas, you would follow a different process. Made to order is where you are customizing the not only the supply chain, but the entire product manufacturing process itself, because the customer wants a made to order product. Made to stock, this is where generally 90% of business runs, where each of us who are in manufacturing manufacture to stock and then deliver as per requirement from that stock to the customer. Strategy selection based on demand patterns. Yes, which kind of supply chain strategy would you use is entirely dependent on which kind of demand do you have. For example, we all know that Toyota manufactures only to order, as well as other car manufacturers made to stock.